Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's Joe McGee. We're going through a ton of scriptures about the signs of the times, the age we live in. The Bible says that we live in the greatest age of human history. God always finishes stronger than he starts. So here are what we call the church age. Now, the church age is about 2,000 years of human history. You start in the Garden of Eden, come on down. So we're in this church age, which is kind of coming to a close. And so God never leaves us in the dark. He always warned his people, whether it was Noah or Moses, Jephthah, he always told his people, Abraham, he told them what he's going to do. He told them ahead of time. He doesn't leave his people in the dark. So people say, well, you never know what God's going to do. Sure we do. We know what God's going to do. He said, we know the signs and the times. Now, nobody knows the day or the hour of Jesus' return, but we do know the times. And so as a student of the Word of God, it'd be good to know that, mainly because it takes the fear away. The Bible says, perfect love cast out fear. And the Bible says, God is love, and God loves his people, and God has great plans for his people. Now, we live on an alien planet. Satan is the temporary god of this planet. He steals, kills, and destroys. But we are the church. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're here in the greatest age of human history. Now, I mentioned before, people said, man, don't you think it's a bad time to have kids? I think it's a great time to have kids. It's a great time to get married. It's a great time to start a business. It's the church age. This is great. And it will be the church age till we hear the trumpet sound and we go to heaven. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus coming back two times. One time we go up to meet him in the air. The second time he comes, he's going to set his foot down in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So the Bible's very clear, but you got to dig into it. You know, it's not just laying on the surface. It's like digging for gold. It's in there, but you got to dig for it. So what we're going to do today, we'll kind of pick up on the third lesson of what's going on and just kind of get everybody up to date. And this is a really good time. And so I'm going to read the first three verses of Revelation. I read from the New Living Translation. I really like it. Revelation chapter 1, and this is John, he's out on the Isle of Patmos, and they supposedly tried to boil him in oil. He wouldn't boil, so get him out of here. He's different, kind of scary. So when he's on the Isle of Patmos, God brings him up to heaven and shows him the future. And so he writes it down. And so this is what he wrote. He said, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. And this is the report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Now, I want to focus just on that third verse just a second, because I really believe this with all my heart. God blesses the one who reads the words of Revelation. Of all the books, 66 books, they're all very important, but Revelation is the only one that comes from the promise. God said, I'll bless those who read and understand the words of this book. Why? It's about the end. It's the culmination of all the things God's trying to do. He said, God blesses those who listen to his message and obeys what it says, for the time is near. So what are we doing? Well, we're living in the last days. This is an exciting time. I've told people for years, you know, when I worked as an engineer, I always wanted a big family. And so we had six kids. They're all adults. And I said, I wanted a big family. And I'd had people challenge it. Don't you think it's wrong to bring a child in this world the way it is? I said, it's the greatest age of human history. It's the church age. God's spirit's poured out without measure. Our sons and daughters will prophesy and dream dreams, have visions. There's never been a better time to be alive than right now. And so I want to make the most of it. So what we're doing here, this is the third lesson. We're going to kind of talk about how God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. Now, the first two lessons we talked about God coming to earth as a human, you know, silent night, holy night, we three kings, boy and are. Jesus came to earth to save the Jews because God had a covenant with the Jews. It started back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a promise. You know, the word Jew comes from the tribe of Judah, and they showed it up to, oh, you're one of the Judas. You're one of Judas people. You're one of the Jewish people. And so it was sort of a made-up word, you know, really, that represents Judah. And so God made a covenant with Judah. What he wanted to take a people and bless them and prosper them and give them divine help as an example to the rest of the world. He wanted the world to look at the Jewish people and ask them about the hope that's in them. Man, what makes you so positive? And so when you read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the people, God was trying to bless them to show off. That's why he gave them the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land where they don't have to build the houses or plant vineyards. God's trying to bless them so the world will look and say, man, what do you do? What makes you special? Well, I know God. I have a relationship with a personal relationship with God. And so the first lesson, we talk about the foundation. Now, Jesus came to save the Jews, but the Jews rejected him. So the last very probably 10% of Jesus' ministry, he turned to the Gentiles because they've been rejected. So the Bible says we've been grafted in. I've told the story several times when Jesus is at the house and a lady comes in, her daughter's demon possessed, and she's asking for help. And Jesus won't even answer her. You know, she's nagging him. He won't even look at her. And so the apostle, Lord, send this lady away. She's a pest and a mess. And so the lady says, you know, can you not do this? And so he says, Lord, it's not right to feed the bread that I've come to give to dogs. I'm not here to feed dogs. And she said, well, Lord, even dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus looked at her and said, lady, that's a pretty good answer. So what he's looking for, he's looking for faith. So even this Gentile woman had faith and said, your daughter's healed that very same hour. That daughter was delivered and healed and in her right mind. And so God wants to be pressed into. God wants to be chased. And so all of a sudden, Jesus is trying to go to the Jews, and they reject him, they reject him, they reject him. And then at the end of his ministry, he said, no, all right, we're turning. So these are the scriptures today that kind of set that up. Because the church age was born because God rejected, the Jews rejected him. He said, okay. And so the Apostle Paul, the Jewish Pharisee of Pharisees, he's Jewish to his toenails, he is sent by God to the Gentiles. Why? Well, your people have rejected me, so I'll take this message to the Gentiles. Now, I'm not rejecting Jews, but we're going to the Gentiles now. And so we're in the age of the Gentile. We're in what's called the church age. And that's just a certain period of time. Most historians say it's about 2,000 years. So we're sort of the end of that time. So here's God, and he's dealing with the Gentiles, and that time's coming to a close. So this today is just about how God did that, why he did that, and you got to go through the scripture. So I'm going to start with Acts chapter 13. Now, everything I'm going to read is from the New Living Translation. Now, I say it all the time. I have not left the King James. I still study the King James. I just don't speak King James. So here it is, Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to the Jews. While we were sent to the Jews, Jesus was sent to the Jews. But since you have rejected it, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. So Acts chapter 13, what happened? All right, boys, we're going to flip the switch and we're going to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 1, verse 6. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. So we start stacking up scriptures through the New Testament about what is it? Well, God's going after the Gentiles now. It's the church age. We're going after anybody and everybody that's not Jewish. We're going to reach the world with the gospel. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 48. Talked about how the Gentiles, they finally hear the good news. Then Peter replied, I see clearly that God shows no favoritism. Because Peter's Jewish, he realized, oh my goodness, the Gentiles had the Holy Ghost. So he just saw that, and he said, I see clearly that God shows no favoritism in every nation except those who fear him and do what is right. In every nation, not just Israel, but in every nation. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, and after John began preaching this message of baptism, and you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, then Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, that's just a real good saying. Well, it's the truth. Verse 39, and we apostles are witnesses of all that he did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to those to whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. And we were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, of living and the dead. He is the one that all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. So all of a sudden, Gentiles are getting saved. We're not just getting saved, they're going into ministry. They're getting spirit-filled. Verse 44, as Peter was preaching, saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who listened to his message. He's just giving a sermon. What happened? Everybody got filled with the Holy Spirit while he was preaching. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. Oh my goodness. God evidently loves the Gentiles like he loves us. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. What happened? Well, we had a Pentecostal revival in the New Testament. Then Peter asked, verse 47, can anybody object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? They're just like us. So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked them to stay with them for several days. So all of a sudden, as we say back home, the cat's out of the bag. God's about to move. Acts 28:38. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. What's he doing? He's letting them know, hey, it's a whole new world, guys. God was sent to the Jewish people. The Jewish people rejected him. God's going to save the last 7 years, come back and deal with the Jewish people, and God loves them. But we've been grafted in. You know, like they do a plant, like you do in agriculture. We've been grafted in. We've been made part of the family. So here's Romans 3:29. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Is he the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. This is Paul writing the church. Of course he is. He's God of everybody. Romans 10:12. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives justice to all who call on him. They're letting him know. God had a people and they rejected him. But now God's going after everybody. Anybody that wants God can have him. Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for we all are one in Christ Jesus. God's a very big God. It's a big family. It's incredible. Colossians 3:11. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, as he lives in all of us. It's just all about Jesus now. Do you believe Jesus, Son of God, that he died for us and God raised from the dead? Romans 10:9-10. If you believe that, confess that with your mouth, that's how you get saved. How do you get saved? Do I need to crawl on my face for 40 days or shave my head or suck rug or light a candle or hum a hymn? No. You just need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you and God raised from the dead. If you believe that, just confess that with your mouth. That's how you get saved. It's very simple. I like this. Galatians 3:8. What's more, the scriptures look forward to the time when God would make the Gentiles right in the sight because of their faith. He's writing the church at Galatia. Hey, guys, God looked forward to the time when he could make Gentiles right just because of their faith, not because they were born Jewish, just because of their faith. How do you get in the family of God? Your faith, what do you believe? You be in the family of God. Whether you're Roman or Jewish or from Bolivia or Canada, Australia, being the family of God. It's a real simple system. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago and said, all nations, Abraham, are going to be blessed by you. Why? Because you chose to believe God and everybody else is going to follow it. Romans 1:6. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and then the Gentile. What did you come for? I came for the Jews. They rejected me, but I'm going after everybody now. Why? Because they rejected me. So the Gentiles have been taken into the family. Romans 11:11. You can remember this. This is a real good one. Romans 11:11. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Talking about the Jewish people. Of course not, Paul said. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. Why did God make salvation available to the Gentiles? The Jews rejected it. Did God reject the Jews? No, but that's what opened the door. Because he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Romans 11:13. I'm saying all this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody. He is sent by God to the Gentiles. Why? God loves everybody. So what's going on these last days? God's trying to spread the gospel around the world. More people in the mission field than it's ever been in the history of the church today. Now, the problem is, if you just watch the news, you're going to hear nothing but negative, negative, negative. Watch what you feed on. The Bible says, guard your heart for out of it the issues of life. Don't feed on stupid all the time. Feed on something good. Romans 11:17. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. Why'd you get grafted in? Well, my people reject me, and so I offered it to you. So now, you who also received the blessing of God promised to Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. We've been made part of the family. It's a gift. It's grace. You can't earn it. It's just the grace of God. Romans 11:25. God's mercy is for everybody. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you'll not feel proud about yourselves, for some of the people of Israel have had hard hearts, but this will only last till the number of Gentiles comes to Christ. What's wrong with the Jewish people? They have hard hearts. How long is it going to last? When the last Gentile is born again. Then we'll go to heaven. It's called a rapture of the church. We go to heaven, 7 years we're in heaven, we come back with Jesus, and it is an amazing return. That's a whole nother teaching. I like this. Ephesians 3:6. Ephesians 3:6. This is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children because both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise and blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. What happened to me? I'm in the family. I belong to Jesus. I'm in the family now. Then Acts 13:47. For the Lord God gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. Acts 13, what's he saying? I made you a light to the Gentiles. Why? I'm going to reach the four corners of the earth. And there'll come a day when the last person that can hear will hear the gospel. God's fair. Everybody's going to hear the gospel. Well, I'm not heard of. Everybody's going to get a chance. Everybody will get a chance. And when the last person be given the opportunity, on that day, trumpet's going to sound, the church goes home. So we live in the greatest day of human history. It's an amazing time. So it's the total culmination of the end of the church age. We're about ready to go into a different period of time. We'll talk about the next lesson about the rapture of the church, which is kind of somewhat controversial in some places, but it's in the Bible. You know, everybody I've ever been part of, I grew up Southern Baptist. We taught it there. Converted over to, I was in a Church of God. My wife was in a Church of God. I was in a Church of God for a while. And we got into charismatic movement, full gospel businessmen. It was the same with the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the businessmen. They believe the same thing. It's in the Bible. You know, I tell people, volume two's not coming out. Got to stick with volume one. We live in the greatest day of human history. And that's why I said it's a great time to have a family, start a business. Why? It's the last days. God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. We live in the greatest time of human history. The fathers of the faith, they say, sit in the grandstands of heaven and they watch us run our race. What do they know? I don't know. It just says they watch us run our race. How much do they say? I don't know. It just says they watch us run our race. And so when we get to heaven, Moses and Noah and Jeff, they watched us run our race. So when we get to heaven, we want to have a great message. What is it? How was it? Man, it was awesome. That's part of the last days. People getting saved and spirit-filled and blessed and healed. We are ministering, laying hands and preaching the gospel, encouraging people, praying for our business, praying for our nation, praying for our state, praying for our city. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. 8 times, Jesus said in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. We're part of the last great day revival. For whatever reason, God has allowed you and I to be alive in the greatest day of human history. So don't let the negative get into you. Stay in the Word of God. Encourage yourself. You're going to be blessed. God bless, guys.